Pastor Tommy Bates this morning. Well, if you're a visitor for the very first time, or you've never been here and you don't really know me very well, I've been pastoring here for 33 years. And I started off with very dark hair, dark olive skin, no freckles, no age spots. But the Lord has blessed me good. He's blessed me with freckles and age spots and gray hair. Hallelujah. I always tell the young people, say, you don't say too much about a glorified body when you're young because you don't need one. But you get a little older, you start thinking about that glorified body. Hallelujah. The Lord is good to us. Yes, He is. But God has blessed us today. Blessed the number one, it's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. Number two, it's above 30 degrees. Number three, the sun is shining. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't get it any better than that. It's just good to be alive. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege to give. God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're believing you, Lord, for an outpouring of the Spirit of God in this tri-state. And Lord, I'm asking you to bless the gift and the giver. You said, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that these blessings would happen to us. Now, Lord, what a beautiful day. The resurrection day that we celebrate, the Lord's day. Now, I'm asking you, God, to touch those that are sick and shut in, those that have suffered loss and death. God, be with them, comfort their hearts. And Lord, let us everyone have an attitude of gratitude. And we'll never fail to give you all the praise and the glory in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. And the church says, amen and amen. This church is getting ready to celebrate its 60th anniversary. We have been here in Independence, Kentucky for 60 years. This is an old school song from the old church. It's one of those kind where you repeat. The church was poor, didn't have songbooks in the beginning. And so the easiest way was just have songs where you repeat. So your response is, I feel like traveling, okay? And the leader's response says, I've got on my shoes. And you say, and I feel like traveling. Because the Lord said, when they came out of Egypt, put the blood on your house. But I want you to eat the lamb with your shoes on because you're going somewhere. Because I tell you, when Jesus saves you, He saves you to take you somewhere. Are you ready? Oh, I got on my shoes and I feel like traveling. Oh, got on my shoes.
No breath he gave, As heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken.
The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overthrown. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected King has rendered you defeated forever.
Praise the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet and give God a clap and a shout of praise this morning. We serve a resurrected Savior. We serve a resurrected Savior. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Just remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're reading in our Bibles today the inerrant, eternal Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, for your Word. Especially in these last days when everybody's got an opinion. I thank God for His Word. Especially when so much false doctrine and I think this and I think that. I have to go to the Bible. And I thank Him for His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 12 through 19. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how is it there's some people still out there saying there's no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is preaching vain and faith vain also? Yea, then we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He has raised up Christ, whom He didn't raise up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, the very faith you have is not worth it. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have preceded us in death in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Just for a few moments this morning, I want to deal with the subject, the resurrection of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I stand here. Let the preaching of the Word go forth today in love, mercy, compassion, truth, power, and demonstration of the Spirit. And we'll never fail to give you all the praise and all the glory in the wonderful name of Jesus. And the church says, amen and amen. You may be seated. Just for a few moments this morning, we're dealing with the subject, the resurrection of Christ. As we talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about the story of Christ Himself. Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was born in a little city called Bethlehem of Judea. He was raised in a town that Nathanael called, "No good thing can come out of it." He was raised in poverty. He was raised in a poor carpenter's home. He was raised without the luxuries that we have today. He lived in this environment for about 30 years. But then the scripture tells us that there was a prophet by the name of John the Baptist preaching on the river of Jordan. Jesus went to attend that meeting, went down in the water to be baptized by John. The Bible said a voice spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I may be a man born in Bethlehem. I may be one conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. I may be one that came from a city called Nazareth where no good thing comes from. But don't misunderstand who I am from where I'm from. For I am God manifest in the flesh. The Holy Ghost led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the very culprit and evil one himself, Satan. For 40 days and nights he was tempted of the devil. And the Bible said when he came out of that wilderness, he came in the power of the Holy Ghost. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cast out devils. The Word of God tells us that he actually walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He spoke and the winds and the waves obey His voice. He raised the dead. Many miracles were formed for 3.5 years. But Jesus Christ never came to live in a palace. He never came to sit on a throne. He never came for the accolades of men. He never came for the applauses and all the wonderful fineries of this world. Jesus Christ came to take in his body the sins of the world. He came to take the sin of every disobedient person that has ever been born in the past, the present, and the future. He was going to take those sins and place them in his body. And he was going to offer his body a supreme sacrifice, a sinless, spotless sacrifice before God. After 3.5 years of healing the sick and raising the dead, after 3.5 years of being identified as God manifest in the flesh, it came his time. They first took him to a whipping post. He held him to that whipping post and took a whip and began to beat his back until it looked like lions and bears had clawed his back and the blood was streaming down. Then they took him at 9 o'clock in the morning and they laid him on an old wooden beam. They began to take spikes and nail his hands to that cross. They took spikes and nailed his feet to that cross. Put a crown of thorns up on his head. And the blood began to stream down his face. 9 o'clock in the morning, they set that cross up on the hill called Golgotha. On a hill called Mount Calvary. At 12 o'clock noon, God refused to look upon the suffering of his Christ, of his holy begotten, of the only begotten Son of the Father. A solar eclipse took place. And in Jerusalem, it was midnight in the middle of the day. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the suffering Christ, gasping for breath, shouted those final words, "It is finished." When he said those words, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body of Christ. They began to wash those wounds. And they lay him in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. While his body was being placed, Jesus went into the heart of the earth as was prophesied. Because the Bible said in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, Satan, you're going to do havoc upon my foot. You're going to pierce my foot. You're going to cause my foot to bleed. You're going to bruise my heel. But with my bruised heel, Satan, I'm going to crush your head. And I'm going to make every demonic force of hell, every demon spirit of drugs, of alcohol, of suicide, of every illicit sexual perverted act, of every demonic power on the face of this earth, I'm going to make every force of evil submit to a name that's above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, men and women shall call upon that name and be saved. They lay him in that borrowed tomb. He went over to paradise, had a 3-day camp meeting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the suffering Christ, saw the great Redeemer. It was Job that looked into his eyes. And Job, remember when the skin worms were about to devour his flesh, he said with boldness, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Hallelujah. And it was early one morning before the sun began to burst forth. Hallelujah. The earth began to shake. And an angel rolled away the stone. And the disciples came to find Jesus. And the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is risen." And we've gathered here today. Our cars are in the parking lot. This is not any ordinary day. This is the Lord's day. This is a day of celebration. This is a reminder to the powers of darkness that the grave could not hold him, that the demon powers could not keep him back. This is a day that we rejoice in. This is the Lord's day because he resurrected triumphantly. The Bible said for 40 days and 40 nights he was seen. They felt the prints of the nails in his hands. They thrust their hand into his side that was pierced with a sword. They saw the scars on his forehead where that crown of thorns was upon him. For 40 days and 40 nights he appeared to show himself the resurrected Savior. But on the end of that 40 days, he went up on a mountain and he was caught up into a cloud. Two angels dressed in white apparel said, "Ye men of Galilee," 500 of them there, "why stand ye here gazing? The same Jesus that you see go away, he's coming back in like manner, just like he said he would." And the Bible said that he told them to go and tarry and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, for the Comforter. They waited approximately 10 days. And the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 1 reads like this. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and a mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues of fire set on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they came out of that upper room and they began to preach that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus was baptized by John, that Jesus was crucified, that Jesus healed the sick, he raised the dead, that Jesus cast out devils. They began to preach that he was laid in a borrowed tomb. They began to preach that on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, he resurrected with all power and with all authority. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. When men and women heard this gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, they began to cry with loud voices, "What must we do to be saved?" They told them, "This is what you must do. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And for approximately 25, 30 years, everywhere they went, they preached this gospel. And when they would preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost would confirm it with a genuine faith. And they knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he paid the price for sin on Calvary, that he resurrected from the dead, that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, that he ever lives to make intercession session for us, that he's coming back in clouds of glory. There was a witness of the Holy Ghost. There was a witness of the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Ghost had come to verify that there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist. I'm not saved because I'm a Pentecostal. I'm not saved because I was baptized a Catholic. I'm not saved because I'm sitting in a building. I'm not saved because I wear church clothes. I'm not saved because I sing in the choir. I'm genuinely saved because I know that my name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've had a personal, intimate encounter with the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I know my Redeemer lives. We're living in modern days, and modern conveniences and technology has gone beyond our human imagination. But the mind of man still never changes. With all of this great revival and the power of God, there were philosophical minds and agnostics and those who were so learned that said, "Hey, hold it here. Don't make no sense. I know Jesus changed your life, and I know Jesus took filth out of some of you, and I know some of you got your blinded eyes open, and some of you got your deaf ears unstopped. But come on now, resurrection from the dead, that's taking it to another level, and I can't go there." But the Bible, the scripture, the inerrant, eternal word of God says, "I got something to say about the resurrection." I've got an answer to your philosophy. I got an answer to your mental mind that wants to argue against the things of God. First of all, he says, if there be no resurrection from the dead, then preaching is worthless. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't want to be a preacher. I was born and raised in this church. I started playing the piano here when I was 8 years old. And at 16 years old, 1972, I had an incredible, awesome encounter with God. I prayed through at the altar. I felt the touch of God on my life. But I didn't want to be a preacher. I said, I'll play the piano and I'll sing. And I'll sing in the choir. And I'll be a part of the worship team. And I'll say amen when somebody else preaches. But just let me be a veterinarian. I want to take care of animals. And I just want to have me a good time. I want to make a little bit of money. I want to build me a big house and have a nice car. But don't put the preaching job on me. Well, down in the old church, it was country, folks. Oh, it was country. It was so simple. Hardwood floors, knotty pine walls. We had amen corners up on the platform. The women sit on this side and the men sit on that side. Mom would sit there with her flat top guitar, her Gibson Hummingbird. She would lead out on singing with songs as the Spirit of God would give them to her. I sat right down off the platform on the piano. Oh, the Lord was dealing with me. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. The anointing had fallen on me. The power of God had touched me. Something supernatural. Oh, it wasn't, in those days, Pentecostal preachers were poor. So it wasn't money. There was no pats on the back for being a holy roller preacher. You were guaranteed criticism. You were guaranteed to be pushed aside. But something on the inside made my heart thump. And I said, I don't want it. I don't want the preaching job. I don't want the preaching job. Mom was sitting in the pew in front of me. I was sitting in the corner of that seat, up in that amen corner on a Sunday night. When all at once, my heart was pounding. And I said, God, what are you going to do with me? He said, open up your Bible and I'm going to tell you now and I'm not going to tell you again. Now, I don't advise you just to flip your Bible open. God only knows what you might find. But I wasn't searching for something. This was God telling me what he was going to tell me. That Bible opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Necessity has been laid up on me to preach the gospel. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm going to tell you, some of you might say, well, you're a little excited. You're a little bit emotion. I never had any coffee this morning. I'm not on drugs. I've never been drunk. I've never been high on any drugs. I never even drank any tea. I haven't had anything stronger than water this morning. But right now my heart is pounding. Right now there's something running from the top of my head to the sole of my number 10 shoe. And you know what it is? It is the power of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just because I'm preaching this morning is a sign there is a resurrection. I said there is a resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God a shout of praise. He went on to say, if there is no resurrection, then there is no faith. Oh God, no faith? Then when I stood here and watched Sister Gabbard at 83 years old from the Appalachian Mountains of Breathitt County, who was burned in a fire at 3 years old, and her face carrying the scars and a thick, crusty skin across that burnt eye. 80 years had carried that burned eye. And right here, in this house, right here, all at once, faith come in the crowd. She lifted her head toward heaven. And I'm an eyewitness. I watched that gray skin peel off of that 83-year-old eye. And a brand spanking new eye that took her to 94 years old that God had underneath it. Faith? What about faith in the old church that caused Myra Hendrickson to spit cancer that had already consumed her body and given her up to die? She threw it up in a garbage can. What about Harley Hensley, who went up on top of the mountain in Harlan County with cancer eat out of his body, and he come down carrying the dried up cancers in his hands? Oh, let me tell you, what about in the old church on a Wednesday night, just a plain old simple service? My Uncle Hank had already been killed in Vietnam at 18 years old. We'd already had his corpse laying in front as the weeping saints cried over a teenage boy killed in Vietnam. Now Jimmy McIntosh is there. In the amen corner, one of our deacons, my father-in-law now, stood up, Ralph Blanton. He said, God said Jimmy McIntosh is in trouble. They ran to that altar. They begin to pray with faith. Oh God, hallelujah. And as they prayed with faith, Jimmy writes a letter stained with mud and dirt and talks about at the exact same time his helicopter was going down, had been shot, the motor was blasted to pieces. But as the nose was headed towards the earth, he said, nobody knows. My sergeant didn't know. My captain, nobody knew. But that motor kicked right back in and carried us safely. Oh, I can look around this crowd this morning. There's faith sitting on every pew. There's faith that paid your bills. There's faith that took you through a storm. There's faith that took you through a death. There's faith that took you through a crisis. There's faith that took you a financial mess. Oh, don't tell me there's no faith. And just because there's faith, that's a sign there's a resurrection from the dead. Give God a shout of praise. You can open your mouth and say hallelujah too. Hallelujah. He said if there's no resurrection from the dead, then not only is preaching worthless, there is no faith, and witnesses are all liars. All you that's talked about how good your God's been, how when you couldn't make it, and how you were so down and out and didn't know where to go. Oh God, this house is filled with witnesses. People that said, when I didn't know where to turn, when I didn't know what to do, I'm a witness. I was hooked on that drug and I couldn't get off of it. But he set me free. I got up every morning, I had to have a fifth of whiskey. And there's people in this congregation, ladies, well-dressed ladies, that you'd never imagine that. But were one time sloppy drunks laying on the street. There's people sitting next to you that had every tooth in their head knocked out in drunken spews and lived on the streets. You never know what kind of a mess they're in. If there be no resurrection from the dead, then all of you folks are liars and let's go home. But there's not a liar sitting in this house, because I know every one of you can say beyond the shadow of a doubt, it was Jesus that picked me up. It was Jesus that turned me around. It was Jesus that wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was Christ that came to my heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Bless his name. The last one. He said, if there is no resurrection of Christ, then you all are still sinners. You never had your conscience purged from dead works to serve the living God. You're still carrying the guilt of that abortion. You're still carrying the guilt of how you used to abuse and slap and beat your wife. You're still carrying it. You're carrying all of that guilt when you slept in your own vomit and urinated your own bed because of the filth and stench of your sin. You hear me? You're still a sinner. You haven't been changed from darkness into that marvelous light. You don't know what it's like to have old things passed away and all things become new, and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't know what it's like to have the Holy Ghost dwelling in your soul. You don't know what it's like to be changed from who you are. Listen, let me tell you, I may not be what you think I ought to be, and God knows I'm not what I should be, but I know one thing for sure, I'll never be what I used to be because I have been born again. I said I have been born again. I have been changed. I have been changed. I have my name written in the Lamb's book of life. I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he's able to keep it. I've got something in my soul. How many can say I know there's a resurrection because I'm just plain old saved? Let all the saved people rejoice. Well, let all the saved people rejoice. If it was 6:30 on a Sunday night, I'd crank me up a dancing spell and shout all over this platform. Hallelujah. And I'll take that over tonight. He said it like this. Well, preaching is worthless. There is no faith. The witnesses are all liars, and there's never been a sinner transformed by the blood of Jesus. And he said on top of that, when you die, it's over. Now listen, folks, you don't have to be sick to die. I've pastored here for 33 years, and I've done too many funerals. You don't have to be sick to die, and you don't have to be old to die. I've had small coffins, teenage coffins, middle-aged coffins. And unless you are one of those that are quickened when Jesus Christ comes and you're ready to meet him and you're totally transformed in the condition you are to the new creature that will see him, you will die. Now, I don't want to ruin your Easter, but you will die. You will. And when you die, you're not going to face St. Peter. That's only good for jokes. You're not going to face the Pope. You're not going to stand before Mary. You're not going to stand before a Pentecostal preacher. It's not going to be Brother John Brown from the Baptist Church that's going to stand there and shake your hand and say, enter into the joys of the Lord. No. You're not going to get introduced to a Baptist, not going to get introduced to a Methodist. The Jesus that I'm preaching about is the only one, when you close your eyes in this world, that'll be the first person you see. Now, years ago, they never had any such thing as DNA studies. And we just believe the Bible. We believe the Bible that ashes were going to come together. We believe the Bible that no matter where you were, if you were in the depths of the sea and you were stuck in some shark's gallbladder, that you's going to come out. We knew the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the resurrection from the dead on this earth as a visual sign is going to be the last wake-up call this earth will receive before the wrath of God is poured upon this planet and the planet spins in outer space and ends in total catastrophe. How's that going to happen, Brother Tommy? If I get up out of this mortal body And corruption puts on incorruption, and mortality puts on immortality. And I'm present with the Lord, and I'm walking in a new body. How in the world's a resurrection going to take place? Your DNA, no matter where it is. If you get cremated and you're nothing but a bunch of ashes, they put some of you in the shrubbery, and they put some of you in the backyard, and they put some of you in the pond, and they put some of you over here, and maybe they got about 2 ounces of you in the bedroom somewhere where they can talk to you, say, hey, how you doing over there? It makes no difference where your ashes are. Inside of those ashes is a DNA molecule, and if you get in a spew with somebody and they say you was that you're the one that that house was the person in there is related to you, they can go into a burnt house and go into your burnt bed and take the ashes that are heaped up, and they can pull the DNA out and say, sure enough, he was in that bed. I'm going to tell you, if man can find your DNA in a burnt house, the Holy Ghost is going to connect your spirit and your soul with your DNA. How do you know it? I know it because I'm preaching. How do you know it? I know it because there's faith. How do you know it? I know it because there's witnesses. How do you know it? I know it because there's sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. It's how I know it. It's how I know. Hallelujah. And I say this over and over. The only hell that I'm ever going to know is what I'm experiencing in this world. I'll never know eternal separation from God. I'll never know a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'll never know the abyss of darkness where demons dwell. How do you know that, preacher? I know that because there's a resurrection. And if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwell in you, he will quicken, make alive your mortal body. I don't know about you on this Easter service, but I feel the quickening power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I feel something in my soul. Now let me ask you, I know we got a packed out crowd. It's approximately from that back wall up there, a little over 125 feet. And I know we're living in a modern day, and people say, we don't want to make people uncomfortable. Don't say sin. Don't say death. Don't say that. But the truth about the matter, if you're not saved, there's sin in your life, and you die, you're not ready. And that's a very important issue. Maybe you've known Christ or talked about him or been baptized or sprinkled or whatever, but on this Easter Sunday morning, when it's above 30 degrees, and the sun is shining, and the grass has been cut, and you can smell something green finally, on a beautiful day like this, you'd like to make a conscientious decision. I want to get to know this Lord Jesus that I'm going to face. I came in here last night, you might say it, I feel something. If you've never been here before, maybe it's been a long time, I feel something a little strange, you know. I've sat in churches before, but I feel something strange. Well, in the late hours last night, I'm walking up and down these seats, laying hands and saying, Holy Ghost, angels, angels, everybody that needs to know you, draw them. Everybody that needs you, Jesus, draw them. What you're sensing is the Spirit of the living God that's to point you not to a man, not to a church, not to a culture, not even to a style, but to a Savior. A Savior. This morning, whether you're in the back wall of that balcony, or up in the front, or no matter where you are, I'd like for our elders to come, if you would. There's maybe, you might just watch and see how many we can fit right up here. I probably need about maybe 8 of you. If you'll just come, and some of you, Sister Lena, we could use your help. Come up here, sis. Mom, you're right on the front row. Now, here's what we're going to do. You see, more important than hearing this beautiful choir, more important than hearing this beautiful choir, more important than punching in on your goodie points that you came to church on Easter, it's more important that you make a decision to serve Christ. And all I'm asking you to do, just get up out of your seat and say, look, I want to get to know this Jesus now. I want to get to know Him now. I want to know Him with everything that's within me. Here, help Him out here, brothers. Praise God. They come. Come on, clap your hands. Yes. Come on, make this Easter day special. Make this Easter Sunday special. Make this a special day. Get to know this Jesus. Get to know this Savior. Together. I want us to give God about a few minutes of some of the best Easter worship we can give Him. Come on, let's give Him some praise. Containers with these Kleenexes in them. I said, thank God. Thank God. We still have a church where you can repent and you can cry and you can feel sorry and you can get forgiven and you can get saved. Oh, thank God for that. I said, thank God for that. Sing hallelujah one more time. Glory, hallelujah. You know what? Faith is working in the house. Sinners are getting saved. There's more witnesses in the... All of that is a sign that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sing that hallelujah one more time. Glory. Much to thank God for this morning. We have a scripture every month, and the scripture up here is going to be Isaiah chapter 43 and 19. And this is happening. This happened to this young man right here. He come bound and he's believing God for freedom. Hallelujah. I know we got a huge crowd. It's a little hard for people. And believe me, when we say the scripture and dismiss you, not everybody's going to fit out that door at the same time. So you may as well just kick back and say, hello, how are you? You can go out the sides. Let's say Isaiah 43 and 19 together. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Jesus, with all of these evident signs, preaching, witnesses, sinners being saved, faith. We already knew it. But now we're more affirmed in our faith of the resurrection of Jesus. I'm asking you, God, to put your blessings on everyone in this house. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. The church says, amen.